I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday!
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling. Good morning, Chicago. 720 WGN. It's Steve Cochran Show. Are we excited for blistery? Is that a cold word?
Blustery.
Hey, Jen, thank you. I always get my vowels mixed up.
Blistery is like feet.
Yeah, that's good. That's a running ailment.
Yeah.
Okay. Jen DeSalvo's here. Dave Ennard, of course. Mary Sandberg. Steve Cochran. We are looking forward to the next 4 hours, keeping you company in this morning commute. It's very cold outside, and it's also very cold in the studio. I'm not going to lie. You guys know this of me. I have been nothing but happy about the studios, the view, the significance of being right at the center, right where Chicago was founded.
What do you call it? The mouth of the...
High atop the mouth of the Chicago River.
That's right.
But man, it's cold in the studio.
So
we had to turn on the electric heater. It smells like this is a 19 like this house was built in 1920 and we were trying to
I understand. Yeah. It's a little brisk in here.
Brisk, that's a
good. But what do you want? You have an unbelievable view.
I want 72 degrees and a nice cool breeze.
We didn't have 72 degrees in the old place.
Yeah, I'm with Justin. I wouldn't mind it being a little warmer.
Just a little bit.
Just a little
soft.
Also, I'm a little humidity in here. It's a little dry for my taste. My lips are cracking.
Nobody's questioning if I'm soft or not, Dave.
That's already been established.
That's been established. I'm owning soft.
I don't want to interrupt you guys. I was raking leaves. they've just been falling here because the trees are dying. We have a temperature reading in here of what right now?
Well, it's tough to say. This one over here says 52 degrees. Is that what it says?
It's up to 53.
53.
Steve.
The one on the other side of the wall says 60. I've turned on the electric heater, which we learned about yesterday.
Where's that?
It's the baseboard. It's that switch that's guarded by
a
little metal plate.
That's that burning smell.
Well, that's the thing. Ben, one of our delightful engineers, Ben, said, well, when you start to smell something burning, like chemicals burning, then you know it's going to heat up.
And you know you're doing it right.
Look, the studios are beautiful. This is the first problem we've had. So I guess we got to move again. Who wants to go back to the tower?
It was very cold in the lobby of the building, too. So I was surprised. Maybe it's the circulation thing in the building.
By the way, my key card didn't work coming up. The last time that happened, I didn't work here anymore, so I got a little nervous about that. But apparently it's just a coincidence. Top 6 at 6 coming up here in a couple of minutes later on in the program. Our friend Mark Doyle is scheduled to appear. He's so busy with Rags of Honor that sometimes he forgets to show up, but we're pretty sure he's going to be on.
He's going to be on the phone, yes.
Okay, and Adoption Week continues, and for those of you who have been nice enough to listen through the years, I hate to be redundant, but I'm going to retell the story of connecting with my birth mom. I had dinner with my birth mom and the family on Sunday, as a matter of fact.
How'd you get her to agree with that? Because she says no often when you ask for lunch and things.
I thought you had booked it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just assumed. And yesterday, Abigail and I hang out on Monday afternoons, and yesterday she invented a new game, which I highly recommend to all of you. She got this giant bag of tiny pom-poms, and I said, what if we I announce a color, and you pull the color out of the pom-pom, and then you take it over, and you drop it in this bin, and then you race back, and then you take another color that I give you, and then you race back, and she goes, Hey, Pops, what if we do this? Close your eyes. And then she jams her hand in the bag. She pulls out a lot. She goes, open your eyes. She had a handful, and then she giggled. That was the entire game.
I said, stick your hand.
So we'll call it stick your hand in the bag, pull them out, and giggle.
Less running in her version.
And simpler.
Yeah.
I believe that's part of the new physical activity guidelines.
Yeah,
close your eyes and hold a... whole pom-poms in front of your face.
She also has me figured out, you know, it's not that hard, obviously, but she has me figured out because after we threw them all over the floor, she goes, hey, Pops, how about you clean these up?
Smart. Oh,
you're not supposed to do that, though.
What's that?
Do things for her.
I'm not.
No, because then you're like ruining her for the parents.
No, that's grandpa's
job. Well, what do you think a grandparent's job is? Yeah.
You know, that is spoiling, but when you're tasked with hanging out for 5 or 6 or 8 hours,
that's
you
got
to do some disciplining, though. You can't just let her run amok.
Listen, Sergeant.
Do some disciplining.
Apparently, we haven't met. It's 6:15. We'll come back with the top 6 at 6 in just a second and catch up on everything else as well. And we'll keep you up to date all morning on the temperature here in the studio because we know you're worried.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't keep your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Talked to a friend of mine in California last night as we start the top 6 at 6, and said it's indescribable. You can't describe the horror of what people are going through in California as these wildfires continue. The Camp Fire, and it's not a fire started at a camp, it's the name of the fire, is already the most destructive in the state's history. It has now killed at least 42, burned through 117,000 acres in Northern California, which, by the way, is bigger than all of Chicago. Outside Los Angeles, the Woolsey Fire has killed 2 and burned nearly 100,000 acres. As of Monday night, both fires are about 30% contained. Winds are expected to be down for a portion of today, and they believe they're going to make some progress. But it's beyond awful, and California has been declared a disaster area, which means funds will be freed up, whether you tweet or not.
I saw a stat on Twitter this morning. Somebody put up a graphic saying that the drought conditions throughout the state of California leading up to these fires, the worst it's ever been in history. The dry vegetation and everything that goes into it. So the idea of this being a natural disaster may be more of an unnatural disaster.
Probably a combination of factors, though, right?
Change.
One sets up the other and then the dominoes fall?
I think it's just the idea that there's some sort of mismanagement, which was called out by the president.
Yeah,
but the idea that the conditions set up for this fire were unparalleled.
Super Joe, that CNN meteorologist, I thought, did a great job of explaining these fires. That chunk of sound from yesterday we didn't get to. See if you can find that for me. Item number 2. The band is very jumpy today. Item number 2, J.B. Pritzker says, I'm going to be living at the Governor's Mansion in Springfield. Of course, my children are going to go to school here in Chicago, so I'll be doing a lot of commuting. My wife will be doing a lot of commuting. My children will be doing a lot of commuting, he said in a brief interview with the Tribune. Okay, well, you did an interview. That's an upgrade. This doesn't bother me. Does this bother you? Does this bother you?
I don't have a what's the history?
The one governor that made this a story was Blagojevich.
Because he wouldn't live in Springfield.
He wanted to live in Chicago. And Quinn, who's a Chicagoan, and
Governor Thompson.
Rauner.
Well, Rauner's kids are not young, though.
But the point being that they all lived in Chicago, and they went to Springfield, and did the same thing J.B. Pritzker's doing. The only one who made this a story was Governor Blagojevich, because he's like, why wouldn't I live in Chicago? Like, he did that bit.
But he liked running around town.
Yeah. So
he had a lot of appointments.
It also exacerbates that. I think a lot of people downstate want to make sure that someone who is from Chicago is going to live in Springfield.
Yeah, well, of course. You want you want to be represented. You don't want somebody from Chicago to stay in Chicago because you don't believe your interests are going to be met. And but this is not a story. You know, if his kids want to go to school in Chicago, it's fine. Did I mention Pritzker is still invited for an interview here? He's now been the governor-elect for a week, and we haven't heard from him, have we?
I know. I think he did an interview with Pete McMurray again, though.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He and Pete hanging out now, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. They're a cute couple. As we continue, next, President Trump scheduled to fire his Director of Homeland Security, his Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen. This is either a trial balloon being floated or he's ready to do this. This is a woman that he is yelled at a lot, according to multiple reports in cabinet meetings and various things. She was a protege of the chief of staff, Kelly, when he was the head of the Homeland Security Department. She'd been there a year, and he wants her gone. We don't know why, but why look for logic? Next.
Let's go. Look what's going on with the duck.
Do we need to get a veterinarian in here for the duck?
Yeah, that's a good question. We should.
The duck sounds very troubled today.
He's sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's cold.
Stan Lee, writer and publisher, played the role in the creation of Spider-Man and other Marvel characters, died yesterday in Los Angeles, 95 years old. He sold the rights to most of his creations a long time ago. And when the first Iron Man movie, or the first Spider-Man movie, I guess, kicked this all off, but then Iron Man took it to a new level, everything started to go crazy. I think he's really enjoyed the last 15 or so years of his life because he's become a superstar. It was a life well lived. I wish he had more of his money. But as I said, he sold his rights a long time ago.
His money situation is, but to think of one person who has had such an impact on pop culture in our world, Stan Lee has to be in the conversation as one of the biggest, just because the heroes and villains he created are still on the big screen. They're still dominating. They're rebooting. Those characters are as much a part of America as any other
60 years
story.
Plus, right?
So hats off and rest in peace to Stan Lee.
So is there are there new villains coming up? Is there a new bad guy? Or do we have to look to the video games?
No, Marvel has a slew of heroes and villains that have yet to be tapped for the big screen. You're going to see Captain Marvel coming up.
No, I'm talking about new. Is there a new, like, created in the last 10 years?
I'm sure there are.
How about
are.
The cowboy from Red Dead Redemption 2? Is he?
I don't know.
Okay. Next. We didn't get the Amazon headquarters. The headquarters, HQ2, has been split between Northern Virginia and New York. In New York, I'm not quite sure what the discussion with Amazon was about the ease of commute and the ability to get in and out, because where they're going in New York is impossible. So there's, you know, unless you want to, you know, take your Jeff Bezos chopper to LaGuardia or Kennedy. That argument.
What I don't like about that story is it's a private decision from a private company, yet we all had to jump through hoops like it was some sort of trying to land the Olympics, and we never were seeing what the deal was. Like, I want to know what Illinois' deal was to try and get Amazon to come here. What were they giving away in our taxpayer money to get that company, which, at the end of the day, took D.C. and New York, couldn't be any more anti-Chicago.
Well, I think what you want to find out is what did D.C. and New York give up, because obviously what we offered wasn't enough.
Or we probably offered more, and they said, oh, that's great, but we were never not going to be in D.C. and New York.
Yeah, and then also, what kind of secret stuff did we tell them that is going on here that nobody else knows about that might impact our future competition with something else, and you know, that they will now know about?
I like your conspiracy theory better, Steve, that we're giving up secret stuff. I think that's a better theory.
I think it's all concerning.
I think we talked about last week, though, they said that they give cities feedback on why they did not choose them, so I'm interested to see our feedback.
You know what I would say if I was Mayor Emanuel? I would say, thanks for the call. Bye-bye. I don't need your feedback.
All of these non-disclosure agreements, my question is now, do they become null and void, and so the cities can now talk about all this process, or how long are they now in effect beyond this announcement?
Well, what's the upside to talking about why you lost the deal?
Well, you could. Reporters can find out exactly what was put in.
You can find out. Yeah, get somebody on it.
But probably with that New York location being difficult to commute from, we know we had those ANA guys in, and they talked about less commuting anyway, more virtual.
So telecommuting.
Yeah, so you may not.
I was thinking about yesterday.
Location.
Sure. You know how men are always hard to buy for on the holiday season here. What do you get for Jeff Bezos? He's got $100 billion.
Amazon gift card.
And, well, that's the point, right? Because you can call Amazon and go, send me some crap. Send me this, send me that, send me one of everything. What do you buy for Jeff Bezos?
A bottle of wine.
Maybe something from Microsoft?
A real nice bottle of wine.
Next. I guaranteed a Hawks victory last night, and I'm sure they won. I went to bed fairly, I shouldn't say early. It was probably late by all accounts, but I my point is I knew they would win, so I didn't need to watch the end of the game. Let's go to Dave now for the final in last night's game.
Final score, Carolina 3, Blackhawks 2 in overtime.
I'm sure that must be some sort of typo. Were you at the game?
Let me repeat that. Carolina 3, Blackhawks 2 in overtime.
You've double-checked your sources on that?
Let me check another source. Yes, Blackhawks 3, Carolina Hawks. No, you were almost right there. Carolina 3, Blackhawks 2, unfortunately, in overtime.
Do we get any credit for coming close? We get a point.
Get a point.
Because it went to overtime.
Yeah, which is the first one.
Which means I was, in the world we now live in of participation trophies, I was kind of right.
Yeah, you were close.
Yeah. And now we can get the three remaining games in the week because we need them.
Blues,
really,
Kings,
really
and Wild, those?
The Blues, Kings, and Wild. Yeah, we're going to
beat all three of those. I felt bad because the dads were so excited when they first scored, and then it ended up being.
Yeah, bummer of a dad's trip.
Yeah.
I think they had fun, they said, in doing other things besides just the games.
Right now, as Hawks fans, we have to look for other places for fun. Who scored the two goals?
Jonathan Toews.
Number 9 of the year.
Alex DeBrincat.
There you go.
Number 9 of the year.
DeBrincat, is he 21?
I believe he is now 21.
Oh, no, I meant the number on his jersey. I didn't mean his age. I'm sorry.
Can he drink?
Oh, is he 21
I don't
yet?
Know.
Is he legal?
No, he's 12, is he?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he's 12.
Yeah. I saw the score, but then I was at the gym, so I didn't have volume on. So
that's what you're asking about, his age. He turns 21 in like a month, 3 weeks.
Okay, I'm impressed you knew that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dave cards all of the Blackhawks whenever he sees them. Show me some ID. That's your top six at six. Right there.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's Kid of the Week time, and remember, you can tell us about a great kid doing something that you think we ought to know about. And great is all relative. Can be a little thing or a big thing. It's a big thing in the scope of world events that we had good kids that we need to talk about. Two brothers, Michael and AJ, they play varsity football for the Marist Redhawks. Dave, do you know how good the Marist Redhawks are?
They're very good.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael's the quarterback. And AJ is wideout, and Michael has to throw to AJ. And apparently they're connecting quite a bit. So I hate to say this, Mitchell Trubisky, but watch your rearview mirror. let me get first brother on here, Michael. Good morning, quarterback Michael.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You awake yet?
I just woke up probably 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Long night of homework or practice or neither?
It's our Monday yesterday, so we didn't have much going on for practice, so I got up pretty early.
Got it.
And, teachers are taking it easy on us for playoffs, which is nice.
Well, okay. What year are you at school?
I'm a senior.
What are you going to do next year?
I am applied to University of Chicago, Drake, and Cornell right now, but I probably won't decide till December.
Those are all smart kid schools. What do you want to study?
Either philosophy or English. I haven't decided yet.
You know, you're a quarterback. You don't. You might be too smart for those schools. You combine your quarterback, your quarterback brain with your brain, as you said. You know, I mean, Cornell. Come on.
You've been to Cornell, right, Steve?
I spent my entire youth at Cornell.
Right.
And I remember vividly my mother looking at me and going, "I really hoped you would go to Cornell." And I said, "Mom, they have to let you in. You can't just go to the classes." Let me get your brother on here, Michael. Stand by 1 second. AJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Is Michael a good quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah. Does he throw the ball to you enough? You know, you wide outs, you can be temperamental.
I mean, I think all of our wide outs are great, and we all distribute the ball, or he distributes the ball to us pretty evenly. So, I mean, I guess he's doing his job. I don't know.
All right. So if he doesn't pass to you and you're open, do you tell your mom and dad?
Nah.
Dad, he didn't throw to me again.
I got my parents telling me all the time that I'm open on stuff, but Mike's got his reads, and they don't know what they're talking about. But
is there a play, guys? Is there a play that you know from the backyard or you know drawn on your hand that if the game is tight coming up here and you guys are ready to a fourth down and you need a play that you guys can just kind of wink and say, remember the hook and pinky,
Dad's man cave on two.
I mean, obviously we've been playing together. We've been playing backyard football together since we were little, so we always know, you know, if Mike ever needs an outlet, I'm always there. So,
Michael, as the quarterback and the big brother in this scenario, and be honest now, Michael, because you're co-kid of the week here. Have you ever not thrown to AJ when he was open, just because he annoyed you when you were younger and you were getting back at him?
Honestly, in practice, there's been a few times where just because he's getting on my nerves, so I'll take off and run instead.
Yeah, sure, why not? AJ, you're junior?
Yes, I am.
You have any idea what you're going to do after high school, or is it too early to make that decision?
I honestly have no idea.
Okay. And who's going to be a quarterback next year when your brother leaves?
We had two great quarterbacks, junior Hayden Mikesell and freshman Dontrell Jackson. I think they'll both be competing and they'll both get in next year.
You working both of them to make sure you get more?
Yeah, I mean, they're both real talented, so.
Okay. Tell you what, dude, once you make the pros, you're going to be great in interviews because you have your answers to these are great. Here's a couple of stats you need to know for those of you listening to the brothers. Is it Marquette or Marquette?
Marquette.
The Marquette brothers. Michael passed for, and this is as of the time we got these notes, almost 1,800 yards and 22 touchdowns, completed 120 of 186. Dave, I don't know if you know that. It's a quarterback rating of 2,000.
It sure sounds that way.
Yes. Meanwhile, AJ has been the receiving end of many of the touchdowns. How many touchdowns do you have this year, AJ? Do you know?
I do not know.
Yeah, because he has too many to count. I don't know which you to pull for, but having a brother of my own, I know that this is a pretty cool story. And, Michael, I want you to get the ball to AJ more often.
Got it.
Hey, guys, is the football the only sport you play together, or do you do other things?
We used to play baseball, but we were never on the same team for that. So football is the only team that we play together.
So
yeah, just football.
So, guys, so you're in the playoffs now, correct?
Yes.
So this is, I mean, as you get ready for the final push here and is getting deep into the playoffs, this is the last time you guys are going to play together, especially being on a varsity team. Reflect on that for a moment. Tell what it's like to know that coming up here, you two, you brothers who've been playing together on the playground for so long, this will be your last time together on the field.
That's something I think about all the time, especially when we're out there. I mean, when the game's getting tight, there's like a little extra motivation to get that little extra push when I'm out there. I mean, it's crazy to think that it's already state semis and it's already my senior year.
How about that?
That's something that I want to keep going as long as I can.
Well, you have Brother Rice this week, which is a rematch for you, right, Mike? You already played him?
Yes, we played them week one.
So a little payback in mind here in the semis?
Absolutely, absolutely.
AJ, you going to miss Michael when he's at school?
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
Okay. Michael, you get AJ one more touchdown. You don't have to get him anything for Christmas.
I didn't plan on getting him anything.
Ah, brotherly love. And that's the thing, too. You know this, Dave. If Michael doesn't get the ball to AJ, he knows AJ's going to have to. AJ's his brother. He's got to love him anyway.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. You guys go get a win. It's the Marquette brothers. Congratulations. We wanted to celebrate your sports success, but also we thought it was pretty cool that you had a quarterback brother hookup on one of the best teams in the state. So, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on. See you.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, the Marquette brothers.
What kind of memories would that be for a lifetime to win a state championship with your brother as one of your receivers, if you're the quarterback?
That's what you want. What you don't want is an overthrow or a dropped ball that for the rest of your life is coming up at Thanksgiving.
Right.
So that's why I'm glad these two are talented, because that's not going to happen.
Right.
I like that the parents, though, say to AJ, hey, you've been open and he's not throwing it to you. Like, getting in his head.
My brother was on one of the 16 softball championship teams.
What?
So he was. He was on a
what
second
are you holding
one.
Back for?
That
That's
was the
big
second
news.
One. I know, right? So we had the opportunity to come back. I should have mentioned that to the brothers, that Whew. There will be intramural opportunities when you get into your 30s and 40s where you can strap on the... I don't know what
great
you strap
thing.
On when you play softball, but you strap on the 16-inch clincher.
The great thing being brothers is for your entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, until the end of your life. You will always be able to dump on your brother, whether you're playing football or late in life when you're playing whatever is a popular game late in life.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve, I heard that as glass. When you said glass seats, I thought that was in the truck
thing.
Or that was in the Chevy. I was like, is that a new thing?
Yeah, the new glass, Chevy glass seats.
Glass
yeah.
seats? Cool.
Those are incredible. Those are so cool. Hey, if anybody has a Chevy, you'll have it. Stock market got crushed yesterday, and it has nothing to do with politics, regardless of the tweets you have read or had heard about. The Dow fell more than 600 points. That's 2.3% yesterday. The NASDAQ was down almost 3%. Apple went down 5%. One of their main vendors is a company called Lumentum, and they had a bad sales forecast and earnings report. And therefore, they got by one of their main Wall Street, some proponents in the past. J.P. Morgan cut its target price on Apple stock. So when Apple goes down, everybody else goes down. That's the point. And a stronger American dollar means American companies doing overseas have to do a business overseas, end up making less money because people have to pay more for their goods. So all in all, a bad day of dominoes on the stock market. And as far as where it goes today, Steve will keep you updated on that coming up. I also said I'd play this clip for you. Super Joe, I forgot the name of this weatherman who's going to explain this, but you and I can look that up while you're listening. Here is an explanation for the wildfires from an actual scientist, Tom Sater, who does a nice job on the weekends on CNN. But anyway, Tom Sater explains the true cause of the wildfires. Listen.
Staying out of the political arena, this is wrong on so many levels. They're right. This has nothing to do with forest management. I mean, look, we're not looking at dense forest here, especially down in Malibu. But forest management has nothing to do with mountain winds coming down the passes at 70 miles per hour or humidity levels in 1 hour dropping Thursday from 35% down in the single digits, drier than most deserts.
That's as simple as it gets. You know, the forests in Malibu aren't that impressive. And the winds aren't political. 657. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve Grzanich is next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Big fast food news. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, I guess it's called KFC now. It's going to serve chicken and waffles. I can put that on a list of things I'm not going to have. So, have you ever had chicken and waffles?
Yeah, it's tremendous.
It is true, but it's got to be done right.
But I was going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
What makes you think KFC will not do it correctly?
Because
it can't be done as a fast food item.
I would just assume that those base ingredients need to be pretty pure.
They've already
the
nailed chicken.
Syrup.
They've got chicken.
No, you
got
to make chicken and waffles fresh. Because yeah. the waffles end up tasting like yeah. a shoe,
right.
and the chicken gets dried out and tastes like the shoe's tongue.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Cochran.
Yeah,
that's a very good way of putting it, Steve.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna say
you gotta have that. You gotta have the waffle maker nailed. Right there. Do yeah. it yeah. from batter right yeah. on the spot.
Now, Steve Grzanich, I happen to know mm-hmm. that you eat Eggo waffles, no problem.
Well, that's because not chicken and waffles. I don't have time to fire up the Eggo. The waffle maker at right. 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm just saying, if you want a quick substitute for a chicken and waffle and you can't head over mm. to a restaurant that has Mm-mm. it, you might say, I'm going to give this KFC chicken and waffle a try.
Well, if KFC wants to send some over, we could try them this morning.
Yeah.
And okay. by we, I mean the rest of you.
I would try it.
I'm down.
Okay.
I love right. KFC. I could eat a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I could eat just the breading off of it.
KFC chicken is tremendous. I can eat it once every 5 years. And I went, You know, I never like when people go out to eat and then they go, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I just shouldn't have done that.
The problem
is, like, eat it and enjoy it. Yeah, but right. if I go to KFC, yeah. 5 years later, I'm still going, what the hell was I
thinking?
The
problem is that Chicago has, especially, like, the downtown area, they have really invested in casual fast food chicken places. So there's a lot of great fried chicken sandwiches, Nashville hot chicken, all that kind of stuff that's the actual authentic
stuff.
You
got a lot of chicken choices.
So you get a lot of choices. So KFC drops on the power ranking of chicken restaurants.
Let's get that your fancy hot chicken fast food and then get a KFC piece and just say who's got the better seasoning, because I think KFC has amazing fried chicken.
Mary, are you talking about the original recipe or the extra crispy?
Original recipe.
Yeah, original. And coleslaw. I love their coleslaw.
Yeah, you got to go original. Yeah, if you're going to eat KFC, you got to go original. Yeah.
Yeah.
The mashed potatoes and gravy are good.
Yeah, the whole the reason why they've been in business this long. It's
I don't
not
know why
like
I brought this up. Now I want breakfast. At 7:14, my friend Mark Doyle is on the phone. And Mark, where can I put you? Are you down for chicken and waffles from KFC?
In fact, anybody who comes to Jump gets a bucket of chicken. adding a bucket of chicken to the prizes over at the Jump for Vets.
Sunday, November 18th, Jump for Vets from Rags of Honor. This is a good partnership that you have that's helping put this on. Who else did you want to plug?
Well, we want to thank Stan's Donuts, who last week, as you know, delivered a bunch over to you all. And then for the weekend, the proceeds from their number one selling donut, the lemon pistachio, are all going to Rags of Honor One to help support this effort next weekend. So we want to thank Stan's Donuts. They did it on their own. They just reached out to us.
It's nice.
And really nice of them.
And Mark, Stan's dropped off some of those donuts to us last week, and they were gone. We did a time lapse on the WGN Radio Instagram. They were gone in less than an hour.
Yeah, they did.
This is all you heard. The donut box opened, and all you heard was, caw, caw, and people started coming in.
No, I can eat my weight in Stan's Donuts.
Thank you for that. I think it's also you buried the lead there a little bit. Lemon pistachios, their number one seller?
Go figure. I'm a chocolate guy, but lemon pistachios, their number one seller.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. There you go.
Are they doing chicken and waffles yet?
No, but I'll tell you, Do Right Donuts, not to ship to another. Do Right Donuts has one of the best chicken sandwiches. Mary, you got to go get a Do Right Donut sandwich.
I'm on
chicken
it. Sandwich. I can go eat that.
Off the hook.
After you go to Stan's, go to Do Right. Wash it down.
Get a donut at Stan's and go get a chicken sandwich. Get all food groups.
Do Right Donut is another one that's replaced.
Is it a donut bun?
No.
Or
is
No, it's a soft bun with a pickle on it. It is so good.
Yum.
Just like what we called to talk to you about.
enough about the veterans. Let's talk about chicken sandwiches.
All right, Jump for Vets means what? Are we jump roping?
We are jumping rope for veterans, specifically to raise money for my nonprofit, to provide a procedure called a stellate ganglion block, and I briefly touched on it last week. It's a procedure that was perfected by Dr. Eugene Lipoff here locally, and it quite literally cures PTSD in about 95% of the men and women who get the shot. And we've done it to three of the people who work for us, and we've had it performed on a Marine who's a friend of the family, changed their life.
How about that? What's it called again?
Yeah.
Not that I'll remember.
Ganglion block.
What is it short for that? Is there a three initials sort of thing? Or?
SGB. SGB.
Okay.
Dr. Kevin Most would know about the ganglion cluster, the cluster of nerves that runs along the cervical spine. And in that cluster of nerves, again, like I know what I'm talking about, but I know enough from talking to Dr. Lipoff about it and seeing the people who've done it. That nerve cluster contains the impulses that affect our anxiety. And what this shot does is it pinpoints that nerve, and again, in layman's terms, essentially acts as a nerve block. And so it sort of turns off the impulse that comes with the anxiety that accompanies PTSD. And
sounds like a miracle.
It's called the God Shot. The Playboy magazine, like 3 years ago, I just read the article. Somebody forwarded it to me. Did a great article on it. It's called the God Shot.
I was just going to say, you've got people coming out to raise money for the God Shot from the Blackhawks and Bears and Cubs and White Sox, members of those organizations. And they're going to be getting roped with each jump. Now, here's what we know. You brought this up last week, too. 22 veterans a day kill themselves.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous. It's absolutely
brutal.
Outrageous. So why is 22 the important number for this?
Well, we're trying to make that thematic, right? So whether you come out and sing $22 or $220 or whatever the amount is, we want people to remember that by tomorrow morning at this same time, 22 veterans will have taken their own life. And if nothing else, we have to make people more aware of it. All the money that we make goes to help get that number down. And it just came up with the theme to say, you know, 22 is way too many. And, you know, my wife wrote and produced a short film and a PSA on veteran suicide. And the last thing that Martin Sheen says that she told him to say is the worst part of war should not be coming home.
Amen.
And so we had the idea to, and of course, call Pete Hassett. I said, Pete, I've got an idea. We want to do something different than a fun run. It's just a jump rope. You can jump 100, 50, 200, as many as you can jump. Kids are coming out to jump. What do you think? Of course, the Blackhawks said, we're in. What do you need to get it done? One thing I do want to tell listeners, a few people have asked if we're jumping outside. We are definitely not jumping outside. We are inside right in front of the Michael Jordan statue in the main atrium.
I like the fact that they think you're crazy. They seem to have come to know you through the years on this show, and they think you're nuts. This is an important event. This is going to raise a lot of money for the cause and the particular procedure mentioned, and hopefully help eliminate for some the scourge of PTSD. All right, how do people get involved? How do they donate?
So you can go to, if you have a Facebook page, go to Facebook, go to Rags of Honor. You can sign right on there. Or Eventbrite, and just eventbrite.com, and just type in Jump for Vets, and you can open a page. Or if you just want to come over that morning and you gathered a little bit of money, again, I don't want to scare people off that people have to come and jump a bunch or raise a bunch. This is the first one. We've got 60 jumpers so far. The ice crew is going to be there. My new friend, Pat Maloney, who's the battalion chief over on Illinois, sending an engine over so the kids can jump on the fire truck. So either go to Rags of Honor, go to Facebook, go to Eventbrite, or just come over on the morning of and have some fun and jump some rope. And everybody's going to get a jump rope. And by the way, I bought extra jump ropes. So for $5, you can go to ragsofhonor.us and buy a jump rope.
There you go. That helps, too. All right, buddy. ragsofhonor.us. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Mark Doyle.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Two chances for you to win after 7:30 with a new game I'm just inventing now. I really hope I come up with a name for this in the next 10 minutes or so. And also Hawks tickets. Hawks tickets coming up. But the new game is going to involve you guys being the lifeline for the listeners to help.
This isn't... I didn't know that.
This is...
That was the new game yesterday.
You know what? I could... Yeah... It's now time for the game show version of I didn't know that, coming up just after 7:30. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
It saved me a lot of brain power.
I hope there's a lot of fried chicken questions. I'm prepared to be a good lifeline.
You know,
that.
That's what spurred this, actually, the entire discussion of fried chicken and waffles and things of that nature. At 7:26, it's time for the most valuable person on the planet. And today, please welcome the most valuable person on the planet. It's Anthony Mesok, or is it Mesok? Help me.
It's Mesok, but however you want to pronounce it is fine with me.
You are a good man. You know, as I know, that nothing will get this great city riled up faster than an animal in trouble. How many of you remember that little baby deer that was stuck out on the lake a couple of winters ago?
There was one on a train tracks this morning, a deer.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
And a dog on the Kennedy. We see that story about once a year. How about a dog on Lakeshore Drive during rush hour? I mean, that's incredibly scary. And a dog that's been hit? Unbelievable. The dog, a pit bull mix named Domino, was hit by a car and was bleeding. This is where Anthony comes in. When did this happen, Anthony?
I believe Wednesday? Wednesday morning. I was on my way to the airport.
All right. So, and where on Lakeshore Drive?
It was just between Irving Park and Belmont, okay. Going southbound.
Yeah, busy stretch, obviously. So could you tell that whoever hit the dog, they didn't stop, I assume?
By the time I had gone there, there was just heavy traffic. And when I finally saw what was happening, everyone had slowed down. This dog was running down Lakeshore Drive, like at a high speed. He was covered in blood, but he was still running. And people were trying to stop, but they didn't know how to do it.
All right, so you got you were able to pull over and get out of the car. You have a dog that's wounded, especially a dog. I mean, look, pit bulls get a bad rap, but a pit bull mix can be a scary-looking dog to people, and if people buy into the myth, you know, they maybe don't want to go near a dog like this, so, and which, by the way, is a mistake. So you get out of the car, and you were able to convince this dog to come to you?
He actually, I had to stop twice. I zoomed up ahead and jumped out of my car and tried to persuade him. He ran up. He continued to run ahead. He was terrified. I got back in my car, again zoomed around the other cars that were going slow. I got out, and I instead of facing him, I turned around because that was less threatening. Plus, dogs tend to follow the leader when they're facing the right direction. It looked like he was going to run around my car, and so I went to the other side, and I didn't see him, and I was wondering what happened, and people behind me who had stopped started screaming, "He's in your car!" He had jumped in my car, and he was down, wow. The poor thing, he was down by the pedals.
And the wheel.
On the floorboard.
Or the well.
Yes, and he looked terrified, but he also looked very relieved.
So your door was partially open then? Just kind of cool. It's actually kind of cool to go, dude, you going to give me a ride?
Yeah, I just stopped in the middle of the road and threw my door open. Not even, you know, I just had to do it. And yeah, he jumped in.
So how did you convince him to get over on the passenger side so you could drive the car?
Well, actually, another woman was in front of me, and she asked if she could help. And like I said, I had to get to the airport. So I had, I also own a dog daycare. So I had some leashes with me, and we got a leash, and I was able to coax him out and picked him up and put him in her car, and then she took him to the hospital, and we've been communicating since.
All right, now there's a part of your story that troubles me. The first vet that this dog was taken to turned him down because nobody knew who the dog's owner was. I understand vets have liability issues like anybody does, but that struck me as odd because it would seem like a vet would fix the dog up. Am I overthinking this or being judgmental here?
I don't think you're being judgmental. We called that first vet. You know, I just Googled I said Google vets, and that was the first one that came up. And I called them, and they weren't comfortable with it. And then the other woman called them, and they suggested we take the dog to animal care and control, which was just not right. But the dog had tags, and we were able to reach the owner, and they met us. And I believe the dog ended up at MedVet there in Clybourne, and
they did a great job. Now, are you going to tell me you made your plane on time?
I was picking someone up, but yes, I made. I ended up making just a few minutes.
Look at you, like Superman here. What'd you do? Hi, honey. Welcome home.
I was just doing what I had to do, which is to save that dog.
So the dog got out of the car okay once and went with this woman? There wasn't any sort of struggle there?
Oh, gosh, no. Like I said, he seemed so relieved.
Well, it's a really cool story. It's a cool thing you did. Do you know the name of the woman that helped you?
She has asked to remain anonymous.
Oh, because she's out there saving other dogs, and she's a superhero as well.
Actually, everyone that day was... a hero. Everyone was so patient and kind on at 8:30 in the morning trying to get to work.
There's a great picture of the dog in here as well with his bandaged up paw, and he does look like he'd hurt a fly. Dave, nobody loves dogs more than you. Do you have any closing thoughts for our friend Anthony here?
No, Anthony, I just congratulate you, salute you for doing that, and I hope in the same situation, I would do that, but it is hard to know exactly how to act and how to stop when you're in the middle of traffic. Bravo.
We would stop. We would both stop.
Absolutely.
And I would wait till you ran, and I would wait by the car with the door open, and I would escort him in. So.
Thank you so much.
Anthony, you're a good man. Thank you. Hold on. That's the most valuable person on the planet. We're back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I did not know that.
Welcome to a brand new game I just invented. It's actually Dave who keyed me to this. Yesterday, started a brand new feature, very hot feature. Got a lot of calls about this after the show from a lot of people in a lot of places.
How many?
They were calling you?
There were people calling me from a lot of different places. A lot of people are talking about it.
So just people getting on the phone. They're not
trying
texting
to, this is my impression of Trump.
You.
I'm just trying to do the impression. A lot of people are talking about this.
So big. Bigly.
Here's the new game. It's called, I didn't know that. The game. That's, I didn't know that. The game. Now, you guys will be the lifelines. 312-981-7200. We have some fine prizes to give away. And you simply have to answer two correctly. Not one, two correctly. Names of products that you may not know because I'm going to give you their original name. Some very well-known products had some very different original names. All right, 312-981-7200 is the number. Here are some of the things you can win. A certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Every year, this is a very popular item. For instance, you get a White Sox tree. You get a Blackhawks tree.
Can you get a Northwestern Wildcats tree?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that.
If not, I believe Dave Ennett's wife, Karen, is going to be making those for people.
Cheap. Oh, is that right?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Karen. We also have Lou Malnati's Pizza. We have Apt gift cards. We got a lot of stuff. So let's start with Mike. Mike is on the Northwest side. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Going to start with an easy one. The original name of the product was Froffles. 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 What is that product?
Lord. Lifeline. Can I use that already?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Does any of you know what Froffles are? Dave.
I would say Eggos, waffles.
That's exactly right. They are Eggo frozen waffles. The Dorsett brothers, Frank, Anthony, and Sam.
Are they really?
In 1932, came up with a popular recipe, which they dubbed Eggo mayonnaise after their egg-heavy ingredient. That was prohibited to be shipped due to spoilage, and they thought their customers would die. So they created a dry mix of pre-cooked waffles, originally called Froffles, because they are frozen waffles. Froffles.
See, we used to eat those when I was a kid. I mean, Froffles? The Froffles. Yes, back in the 30s.
Did it say Froffle on the box?
Yeah, the original product did say Froffles. That's exactly right.
I was going to say Bugles. That was going to be my guess.
No, Froffles. See, but that's how it tied in. That's what started.
I got you.
Okay.
What I was thinking.
All right, I'm going to give you another one here. Are you ready, Mike? You have to get two correctly.
Okay.
Item number two, fairy floss. Fairy floss.
Floss?
Fairy. Mike, wow. Mike is a 12-year-old, much like I am. Fairy floss. This is a tough one now. I'll give you a hint. It's something you would find maybe at a carnival.
Yeah. Cotton candy.
Bingo! Fairy floss.
I thought Mike was playing this game.
Right. But he can ask for help from you guys.
Sorry, Mike. Did you know that?
This is easy. I like this.
Staple of carnivals everywhere. William Morrison was a dentist, conspired with a candy maker to develop a patent on a machine that spun the fiber textured candy in 1897. They shopped their confection at world fairs under the name Fairy Floss.
Fairy Floss.
Huh? All right, see what we're doing here? Mike, you're already a winner. Hold on.
I can tell you, do you know what used to be called an M&M Fruit Chewy? It has a different name now.
No, I don't.
Do you know that, Dave?
Skittles.
Used to be known as
M&M Fruit Chewies.
This is a bonus question here on
It's one of my favorite candies.
Starburst.
I don't know. What is it?
Starburst. There you go.
And what was it called originally?
M&M Fruit Chewies, because I guess M&M made them.
Boy, I'm glad they changed the name.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dina. Dina is in Addison. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Now, listen, ask for help if you need it. What is the name of the product today that was originally called a Pluto platter?
Ooh.
A Pluto platter.
Pluto platter.
Pluto platter. By the way, the newsroom can help out on this as well. So can you, Jen. Jump in if you have the answer. The Pluto platter.
If I had any clue with any of these, you would have heard my voice. Yeah. Good luck, guys.
Some kind of Pluto platter. Some kind of dog food?
I think what you're thinking is toy. If it were a toy, what would it be?
Pluto.
See, I want you to win.
Oh, what are those balls that we used to jump on with the saucer? Justin, come on. You put it in between your...
With a handle?
In between your legs?
The handle you'd hold on to and you'd bounce?
No, mine didn't have a handle. Mine was just a ball with a ring around it.
I don't know what they call those
Looks like a plant.
Pluto platter, but not that paddle ball.
You're both incorrect.
I think I know.
What is it?
A hula hoop?
No.
No, but you're getting closer.
It is a, they are champion. I'll give you a hint. Are you ready, Dina? I'm going to give Dina a hint. I want to play the game the right way. I want Dina to get this, okay? They do tournaments now. You can play
Frisbee.
This.
Frisbee is exactly right.
Woo, Frisbee, I won.
Pluto Platter. The name came from the inventor, Walter Morrison, originally considered calling it the Whirlaway or the Flying Saucer. Whammo changed the name to Frisbee after Pluto Platter didn't quite pass the marketing test.
I bet they're glad they did.
Yes. And in the interest of time, you're already a winner because I want to get one more in here. Let's go to Matt in Bensonville.
I'm looking at the toy I was talking about, and it says here a pogo bounce ball, but that's not what it was called when I was a kid.
Well, this is definitely our number one priority right now, so thanks for getting on top of it.
Did you ever have one of those?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But it had a different name.
She's holding up the computer so the people in the room can see. The original name of the product is... Let's go to Matt here first. I thought I had you on, Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
What is the Aristocrat? The Aristocrat. That's the original name. What's the product? The Aristocrat. Very famous.
Wow.
I'm going to give you a hint. This is tough. You may have one for lunch today. What's the Aristocrat? You can stay in your car to pick it up. What is the Aristocrat?
Starbucks?
It's not Starbucks. It's a good guess.
A Nacho Bel Grande from Taco Bell.
Oh, yum.
That sounds good.
That sounds so good right now.
I'm going to call this question unfair. The Aristocrat was the original name for the Big Mac.
Really?
The signature burger at McDonald's, concocted by a local franchisee, developed a tasty burger. The original names were the Blue Ribbon Burger or the Aristocrat. The people at McDonald's in Oak Brook said, what are you, crazy? We're calling it the Big Mac.
I love that that's the what they went with. Let's call it the Aristocrat.
As if like overindulging in a giant piece of food is very
All right, let me give you one. I'll give you one more here.
That was a trick question.
Matt, you can still win here. One more. The original name of the product here on, I didn't know that, was Wonder Jelly.
Ooh, Wonder Jelly.
Who I believe was a famous rapper. Okay. Wonder Jelly. Wonder Jelly.
Is it Astroglide?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? In fact, it is, it but is. Not in this case.
Yeah.
By the way, those are two words that you've never heard on WGN before. Thus my reaction.
Would that be Vaseline?
Hey, look at you.
All right.
Again, look you at you. You gotta give the clue to Matt. You can't just answer.
Matt, congratulations. You're a big winner. Hold on.
Just because we want to help the listeners, Justin.
You just want to play. You just answer it on the
Listeners are saying. Mary and I are trying to help the listeners. You're trying to make it tough for them.
I'm trying to make it their game, not ours.
Oh, come on. Everybody wins except people that don't.
The texter said 630 says hippity hop.
In 1870, the product debuted under the name Wonder Jelly. Willis undoubtedly made a name for the man. It may not have had the same effect on his creation. He changed the name to Vaseline, reportedly combining the German word for water, Wasser, and the Greek word for oil, oleon, and registered in 1872. Wonder Jelly.
Wonder Jelly.
Although I'm endlessly amused by his original answer.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the first edition. I have no doubt this will be syndicated by noon today.
Everybody's talking about
it. I didn't know that. So much winning. So much winning, you're going to be tired of winning. So I can't even talk about Trump when I'm not talking about Trump. It's a Hawker riddle, because as you may know, John DeCoste writes riddles for this show. And those aren't just your average run-of-the-mill riddles. These are the professional riddles.
Professional.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of riddle competition out there.
Yeah.
And he writes these because Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning is nice enough to give the listeners their season tickets to the Blackhawks games.
So
you can also win the Monroe Show at 4:40 today.
Minnesota Wild Sunday night, you get those Four Seasons tickets for
that
game.
Are you going to that game?
I'm not going Sunday. I'm going Friday. No, maybe I'll go Sunday.
The Sunday games are always good.
This 5 o'clock start time is perfect.
Yeah.
I might go tomorrow.
The 5 o'clock start time. You going tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Do you know the game starts at 7?
I know. It's a late game.
7:30.
Nah, you got to get there by 7. It's the middle of the night.
He lives across the street, though, so he's got easy access.
Here is the riddle. You got to be the first correct caller to tell me what John is referring to in this riddle. These two have stood guard since 1893, iconic bronze green for all Chicago to see. If alive and let loose, would cause panic and fear. But they look so darn cute in their Chicago sports gear. What is it? What is it? You know this one, don't you?
I do.
I know this one. Do you know this one?
An easy one.
I know this one, but I saw the answer.
We should answer it like Batman does.
You shouldn't riddle shame, Dave. Why are you riddle shaming?
I'm not riddle shaming.
You're riddle shaming.
I think this is going to be an easy one for our listeners.
Well, the phones have blown up, so you may well be right.
I think I'm right.
312-981-7200.
Dave Bennett usually has a good gauge on what the listeners know and don't know.
But you shouldn't riddle shame.
Okay, sorry.
He's been doing riddles longer.
So Dave has?
Yeah.
He knows.
Dave's been around so long. He was around when riddles were cool.
I mean, mm-hmm. He was live for Froffles.
I ate Froffles.
Yeah. I bet my parents ate Froffles.
For a pair of tickets to see the Wild and the Chicago Blackhawks. And by the way, Dave, that'll be the completion of this three-game run they're about to go on.
Yes.
Sunday night.
Well, that's not going to be the end of it.
But this particular
three-game stretch. Yeah.
This Sunday night, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air, Conditioning, and Plumbing, for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Colleen is on the phone. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
What are you up to today?
I'm just working.
Where do you work?
I'm a home inspector.
Ooh.
And when you go into people's homes, what do you look for? Like whether they clean the house nicely and whether they're tidy and all that?
Well, they're foreclosed homes, so they're usually not very clean.
Do you wear one of those masks?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
That's a real job.
Yeah, that's real work.
Yeah, good for you. You're actually working for a living. It's not like this show. All right, Colleen.
Colleen's a little cold in the studio.
It's a little cold outside, Justin.
Oh, see? She's had enough of that, too, this Justin.
All right, Colleen, what's the riddle? What am I referring to?
The Lions at the Art Institute.
Of course, that's what I'm referring to. You have tickets for Sunday night in the Wild. You deserve it. Who are you going to bring to the game?
Maybe my son.
Have a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Colleen.
Colleen, man. Don't mess with Colleen. I got the answer. Here's the answer. Give me the tickets. I got to go. 7:59 in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is, and he'll be next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Just ahead of Dean, yes, Amber?
Well, I just wanted to say, Dean, all morning long, we've been struggling to try to remember the name of a toy I played with as a child because Steve started playing this game. I didn't know that.
Okay, well, sell it a little bit, will you? It's, I didn't know that. It's a very important game, Dean.
Sounds like a very interesting idea, concept for a quiz.
It is. And
somebody says something fascinating, and then you go, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
I get it.
Anyway, the texters have chimed in, and a woman from the 708 asked her daughters, who are my age, and so the toy is a pogo ball. Even though that name does not, I do not remember that being the name. Did you ever have a pogo ball,
Dean? What did it do?
It was a ball with a ring around it, and you put your feet snugly around it, and you hopped up and down.
Yeah.
I don't recall that, no.
No.
I had a pogo stick.
Yeah.
I didn't have a stick. Ours were hands-free.
Dean and I grew up in an era where you had a rock, and you'd throw it and chase it, pick it up and throw it again.
Anyway.
The more dangerous, the better.
Oh, there we go. There's one on eBay.
If it had lead paint on it, even better than that.
I got to tell you something. This is part of the fascinating quirks of Sandberg. She's been focused on this now for over an hour.
Somebody just texted me one in from eBay. The pink and blue one my sister had. $39.99. Jeez.
Just thank God I'm not on fire. I'm not sure you would have called the fire department.
Tomorrow's,
I'm working on the pogo ball.
Tomorrow's swap meet, so we'll ask Greg. Maybe he'll know.
Oh, yeah. So thank you for the 7.
Oh, good. So we'll continue this into tomorrow.
The 708.
Oh, I'm fascinated.
Also,
who isn't?
From the 815, we've got Dean sitting on Santa's lap.
Okay.
And a tremendous photo of you in mid arrow. Someone got you a great shot of you pulling
the bow, the string back on the bow.
String back on the bow.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
I didn't know that.
Hmm.
There's so much concentration emitting from this photo.
Did you find a little tiny Robin Hood hat to wear on Sunday? When you
Turns out that was one of the many last minute things that we learned. They do not make Robin Hood clothing for the big and husky man. And I'm going to say the clothing industry, probably good decision.
Good call. Good call. Going to be tough to sell a lot of those. Stan Lee died. We'll talk about that in just a second. Kim and Kanye are in the news. Of course, they are. Lady Gaga's in the news. Ringo Starr is in the news.
I'm looking at a pogo ball right now.
Remember pogo ball?
I don't remember this.
You guys need me for this segment, or should I just leave the room?
Why don't you go get some coffee for me?
Maybe we can order one. It was quite fun, but the only problem is if you did it with bare feet, you got blisters on the inside of your feet.
I don't remember this at all. Isn't there something like this that they have in gyms, though, that you stand on, you balance yourself, and like it builds your core?
Yeah, now they've made it a fitness thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There is.
Steve, you're a gym rat.
I am, actually. Uh-huh. I'm a rat. I live in a gym. I just go around in the gym on all fours, and I scare people.
Mary, I could get you one of these on eBay for $16.
Thank you. I would like one. We could all hop around in here. That could be our next recess.
They got a blue one, a red one, and a yellow one. Which one would you
I want a blue one. Thank you.
And people wonder why we call this moron entertainment.
Question came up yesterday from, I believe, Brad Most came up with the name, Dr. Most Brother.
Yes.
And Brad texted me, which I just saw this, Brad, I apologize, but he wants to know when I think he called them the Maurys, when the Maurys will be on.
Oh, the awards.
Yeah, but I think we got to call them the Morons.
Oh.
These are the Morons. Yeah,
the Morons.
Yeah. And we're still working on the statue.
Should he get some sort of royalties since he came up with the name?
He should sue us because he's not getting a penny. The Grammys and the Oscars are both in February. The Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Golden Globes, I think, are
January.
Late January. Should we jam the Morons right in the middle?
No, I would rather separate.
Okay. All right.
Your birthday is in March. My birthday is in March.
Make it a March thing?
Yeah.
It's going to take that kind of planning to get to it anyway, you know, because we're going to be doing this at the Chicago Theater. Tickets are on sale.
A Chicago Theater.
Well, that's right. That's an important distinction, yeah, isn't it?
The Chicago Theater.
A Chicago Theater. Correct. That is different. That's a good point. All right. So we'll
be in front of the Chicago Theater.
Let me check back in with Sandberg, see if there's any more information on toys from her childhood.
Well, there's a lot of hippity hops coming in, but I don't think that's the one with the handles, the ball with the handles. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite toy growing up, Steve?
What's
your pogo ball?
I like the deadly lawn darts, the jarts. I like those.
I did love those.
Aerodynamic death spikes.
I had a friend who had one go through his hand on the fly.
Fun.
Yeah. We had a cousin, Doug, I haven't seen in years.
I had something that I loved called Mr. Machine.
What was Mr. Machine?
It was a little a robot, and you wound it up, and it would roll around the room. But the thing about this is you could take it apart and put it back together again.
All
gears and things, and I would take it apart, and that would be the end of Mr. Machine.
Right, because
you could never put it back together.
Right, because you got to put it back together. You got to have one of your MacGyver kid friends of yours, right?
But I loved it.
Do you remember SST cars?
Nope.
SST cards had this. Cars had these ratcheted plastic straps that you would feed through the car.
Oh, I didn't know that's what it was called. I had those.
Yeah, and then you'd pull the ripcord, and the wheels would go at 1,000 miles an hour, and you put the car on the ground and go flying.
Tear through walls,
cut your feet or your hands.
Yep.
That's the difference about growing up in the 70s, Dave, in the 30s. Toys could kill you. That's why families were so large. That's why people would have 10 kids.
You had to have extras because the toys were
dangerous.
Some kids
to fall back on.
You're definitely going to lose some. Mom, Jimmy ate the lead chips off the wall again.
You remember my first lead chips? That was a thing you could buy.
First lead chips.
Play school. Buy play school lead chips.
Yeah, play school lead chips. Lil apostrophe. Lil lead chips.
It's bleeding.
8:20. We're back in a moment with Moron. Again, Dean's right. How could it possibly be called that? Moron Entertainment in just a moment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment.
Dean Richards, Dean, we have breaking news on CNN about CNN, reported by CNN.
What?
CNN is reporting that CNN is suing Donald Trump in the White House to reinstate Jim Acosta's press pass so that he will have access to the pointless briefings.
I didn't know that.
You could do that, huh?
Yeah, so again, CNN, breaking news on CNN. CNN is suing the White House as reported first by CNN. So, I don't know how they got that.
Developing. Can you do that?
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. And I think it's good. I think it's good that they're doing it because you got to draw a line in the sand. So, you're suing Sarah Sanders, Huckabee, Feuzengladze, and Farfik Nugan, and the White House and associate other characters to reinstate Acosta.
So it would go in front of a judge, and the judge would say you could have.
Well, a judge has to decide
pass.
If they're going to take the lawsuit or not. Wow. The judge could go get out
that.
Of my courtroom.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. So. Do that, but
what's against the? I mean, I disagree with him losing his credentials, but what's against? Is it against the law?
Well, it's not a law. It's about damages. So CNN can claim they're damaged by not being able to have reporter.
We're going to pay for that. Taxpayers are going to pay for that. So if they award the damages, the White House has to pay. We are the ones.
I can't imagine CNN would say, "Give me cash." I think the settlement would be. CNN said, "Hey, I want some money for this."
$15 million, and we're gonna be like, "Oh!" And then he's gonna be like, "That tax cut." That'd be a bad development. Sorry, CNN needs their money.
So CNN, I think, will win that lawsuit. It depends on. And by the way, it's perfectly appropriate to have certain rules of decorum within the exchange of the reporters and the president.
Both sides.
Both sides. That's exactly right. But the president also should follow some rules. So there you go. Nothing at this point if MSNBC has any breaking news about MSNBC. So what's going on with the Stan Lee reaction? Everybody stepping up?
Oh, yeah. Everybody has tweeted something about the great Stan Lee, who co-created Marvel Comics back in the early 60s, created Spider-Man, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men, Cochran Man, Captain America, Black Panther, just seeing if anybody's paying attention.
Cochran Man.
Cochran Man's a good one.
People like Robert Downey Jr. saying, thank you, I owe you everything. And if you remember, really, Robert Downey's career, after all of his drug use, he couldn't get a job and got hired to be Iron Man, and everything changed for him. He goes, I owe it all to you.
He was doing Ally McBeal. He did Ally McBeal, and he was a risk that insurance companies for films didn't want to take on The last big news story about him was he walked into a stranger's home in Malibu and got into a little girl's bed. Thank God she wasn't in the room, and passed out.
Yep. There were lots of stories like that. In our studio, shortly after I started at WGN, I interviewed him for that Charlie Chaplin movie. Which he was great in. And he showed up to WGN. You know, I didn't do any blood tests on him, but I would be willing to bet that there may have been some altercation.
Pharmaceuticals?
Going on, something. It was bizarre. And now he is as professional. He's still great on screen, but as professional and seemingly clean as can be. So, I mean, it literally did turn his life around.
Yeah, and clean Robert Downey Jr. is a phenomenal guy.
Yeah, he really is. And nice guy, everything. Yeah. So I'm glad.
And a great actor.
Glad that he acknowledges that there were people around him who helped him. Anthony Mackie, who plays Falcon in The Avengers, said, "You are a man before your time. Feels like you are gone before your time. Rest in peace. Thanks for the laughs and words of support." Ryan Reynolds simply tweeted, "Damn, rest in peace, Stan. Thanks for everything." Zoe Saldana, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy, "Today we lost one of our greats. You are an inspiration and superhero to us all. Thank you for giving us all something to aspire to." Dwayne The Rock Johnson wrote, "What a man, what a life. When I first broke into Hollywood, he welcomed me with open arms, with some very sage advice that I'll take to heart. A true icon who impacted generations around the world." And the list goes on and on. Mark Ruffalo and Chris Evans and Guillermo del Toro, the Oscar-winning director Guillermo del Toro. "Rest in peace, Stan Lee, a true world builder."
And what an interesting life, too, because he was an illustrator and a storyteller and had some bad business deals and eventually broke through with Spider-Man. And then eventually had to sell the rights for about $4. Yeah. And then Iron Man comes along, Spider-Man comes along, the whole thing blows up, and then Iron Man and everything else. And, you know, he got rich very late in life, but he seemed to enjoy his life, and that's more important.
He did what he wanted to do. And think about the Spider-Man animated cartoon that we all grew up with. The Incredible Hulk that we watched on TV with Lou Ferrigno.
Anti-Private Eye? Oh, that was probably one I was.
There were so many, including the movies now, which are dominated by Marvel superheroes. Apparently, every major movie now, onto which Stan Lee always did one of his famous cameo appearances.
The wonder, I'm assuming he's got cameos in Captain Marvel, which will be out this spring, and then also the second Infinity and Spider-Man, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'd be shocked if they weren't in there, and we'll see what the story is with that.
So. I wish he would have done before he passed Spider Elder, which is an old guy in a Spider-Man suit that really isn't that fast. Kim and Kanye are doing what?
They hired a private firefighting team to protect their house in Malibu. Their house was spared by the fires.
Protect from looting?
They brought in their own team of firefighters, private team of firefighters.
Really?
With their own hoses. They dug ditches around the house so the fire couldn't get close to the house. A $60 million mansion, really, is what it was. But neighbors are saying because of all of that, they probably saved the whole neighborhood.
Well, good for them.
So, you know.
It's very odd, but good for them. You got the money, spend it, right?
That's fine. Absolutely. Lady Gaga, on the other hand, also has a home in Malibu. Her home was also spared. She spent all day Sunday out with the Red Cross talking to people who lost their homes, visiting people who had to go to the hospital for smoke inhalation and a variety of things. But she stepped up and was there for people. She was very fortunate and wanted to help others who were going through a tough time.
All right, last word, and then make sure you check out Dean's other entertainment news all morning on Channel 9. Ringo's coming to Ravinia?
It actually has not officially been announced. We're getting all these little secret announcements. Yesterday it was Weird Al Yankovic will be coming this summer. August 3rd and 4th, Ringo Starr is going to be at Ravinia in Highland Park with the Beach Boys. So that's a pretty big concert news.
And I believe I'm right about this. He'll be 80 next summer.
Is that right?
I think that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Can I just comment this way? I didn't know that.
Thanks, buddy. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to scream so loud for you. Because I'm so proud. 843, it's National Adoption Month. And prepare yourself. Hold on to something. I'm about to tell the story, in quotes. But first, Sandberg, our friends from letitbeus.org wanted folks to know what?
That Let It Be Us is a 501c3 nonprofit, and they rely on donations to continue with their great programming and helping kids. So if you go to letitbeus.org, you can donate, even if you don't have time or can't foster a kid. So.
Donate online. It's a big help, without a doubt. During National Adoption Month, we are taking this week in particular to focus on adoption and foster care. And one of the things that would seem to make sense is that I tell you my story. So for those of you who have heard it before, I apologize for the redundancy. But for those of you who are new listeners, relatively new, in less than 10 years, I suppose, here we go. So
it's a good story. I've heard it before, and it's worth hearing multiple times.
You saw the your presentation on ICE.
I did. I like it. It's one of my favorites.
I'm with some of the new listeners. I have not heard this story. I'm excited.
So here's what happened. In 2003, Ann Maxfield was doing the traffic for the afternoon show that I was doing, the lovely and talented Ann Maxfield. She is also an adoptee, and we're talking off the air, and I said I had some annual physical or something, and I said, I got the clipboard again, where you're supposed to fill out your adoption or your medical history. And I said, fill in anything you want. I don't know. I'm adopted. And she said, well, you can do a search. And my kids at that point were 12 and 15 and had no historical record of their health track either. So I have nothing but respect for adoption and also the privacy of adoption. So nothing about this search was intended to disrupt that. But
and you had never searched prior to that?
Never. Nope. Grew up in the upstate New York area. And my parents who adopted me when I was 3 days old. But by the way, real parents is a bad term. Let's just throw that out there right now. People don't intend to say the wrong thing, but real parents is something you don't want to hear. Your parents are the people that raised you or the people that had you. and parents are parents. So let's drop the real parents there. So I never needed to go on a search. I knew I was adopted from the time I was five. I was not one of those folks that felt like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. But it just kind of the bell rang. And I said, look, my kids are entitled to this. So through a couple of connections, hired a private investigator. And keep in mind, I've lived all over the country, been thrown out of a lot of fine places. And,
you were adopted in New York. They brought you home from a hospital in New York.
Right. And we're still in Chicago. Mm-hmm. From upstate New York, I'll just give you an example. I lived in Miami. I lived in Los Angeles briefly back and forth in New York, in Minneapolis, in Detroit, in St. Louis, in Baltimore. Private eye came back within a month and said, well, I have good news and bad news. Bad news is your father died about two weeks ago, I think it was at that point. So I never got a chance to meet him. The good news is your mother runs the gift shop at Children's Hospital, and she's 10 minutes away.
Wow.
So I did.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Out of all those places. All the kids. The adoption was in upstate New York.
Wow.
So out of all those places, it ends up right here. And I had always had a tie to Chicago. I had been in and out of Chicago a couple times on jobs and always felt like this was home, even though I had no reason necessarily to feel that way. So that was cool. So the person who hooked me up with the private investigator said, because I said, well, I want to go see her. They said, well, you don't walk in and go, hi, I'm your son. So he said, disguise yourself in some way. So, of course, I did. I had a golf hat in my car. So I put the golf hat on and I walked in and I saw this woman that I assumed was my my birth mother.
Because you heard her being so witty. She is very funny.
She is very funny. And I didn't necessarily hear her being witty. Oh, okay. But this is when newspapers were still being sold regularly. So I picked up a copy of USA Today and I turned around and she said, can I help you? And I said, something really strong like, sure, here's 50 cents. And bought the newspaper. Now, what I didn't know is that this works both ways. So she could obviously figure out who I was if, in fact, she was, inclined to do that. So I wrote a note. I wrote her a note. I thought I was being really smart. I had a friend who suggested this. FedEx it. That way you'll know that she received it. And the note said, I'm not trying to disrupt your life. I have nothing but respect for adoption, which I do. But I'm interested in getting some information on my health. Not thinking that she would assume I was dying.
You're ill, yeah.
So therefore, put her into a panic. So a day goes by, I don't hear anything. 2 days go by, I don't hear anything. Now we're coming up on like a week before Mother's Day in 2003. And we had this old email system because it's 2003. And I look up and I see an email from the name I knew. And I open the email and she said, of course, I'd like to meet you. And yes, your assumptions are true. And I was listening when you brought this up because I'm a fan. She actually found out she was my mother because she was listening to WGN on the day Ann Maxfield and I were talking about it.
Got to be kidding me.
Wow.
No, true story. So I go to meet her, and we hit it off immediately, which is nice, obviously. Except for the fact that, a little sidebar story, my sister had a dog named Moxie at the time. Moxie answered the door by foaming at the mouth and barking like I was breaking and entering. Now, Moxie turned out to be a nice dog. She was just a little kooky. So we go and we have a nice time, and I tell her that she tells me about two sisters that I don't know I have, and one of my sisters is married, has a little girl. She's since had another little girl. So I said, well, I hope you understand this. I want to, first off, there's nothing wrong with me physically. Right. I just want to get this for my kids, and also I want to meet my sisters. So she said, give me a few days. The following Saturday, she went to my sister's house. My younger sister was there with her. And she laid out the story to them. And that Sunday, Mother's Day 2003, I met my mom. I'd known her for a week by then. And I met my sisters for the first time, the little girl for the first time, my brother-in-law for the first time. And the happy news is, and I understand this doesn't happen for everybody, we have been together ever since. Now, I will tell you a couple things. One, if my parents were still alive, I don't know that I would have done the search. Hmm. And not because they didn't support it, because my mother, when I was 21 years old, brought me information, all the information she had. And she said, if you want help doing this, be happy to help. And I said, no, I'm fine. I'm good. And I really was. But it does come to a point where, and I think any adoptee would identify with this, you are entitled to your health history. And there's no real easy way to get it. It's kind of a needle in a haystack. And I've made some efforts to try to change that, and we'll continue with those efforts.
You obviously did this publicly, obviously on air in 2003, talking about it on the radio. But was it hard to come to terms with the emotion of it, like going over to the children's hospital and actually seeing her? Was that a difficult thing to do?
It wasn't as emotional as you would think, because I've always accepted that I'm someone who believes you're where you are because you're supposed to be there. And I don't feel it necessary to go back and turn back the clock. I mean, certainly I had an interesting childhood, and there are a lot of things that could have been changed and maybe would have been good to be changed, but it is what it is. And I know the people that raised me loved me and my brother. And most of the time, they did the best they could. But in the meantime, you know, you miss out on growing up with my sisters and all that. The one thing that I really think is important out of this story, outside of the fact that it's kind of, oh, by the way, I buried one nice piece of this. My sister works for the Hotel Intercontinental in a management capacity. And for a long time, she was actually at the Hotel Intercontinental. She offices out of her house now. But in other words, she would walk by the window every day not knowing I was her brother.
That's amazing.
When we were at the Tribune Tower.
The connections of being that close and then having your mom be a fan and your sister next door.
Yeah, so...
It's crazy.
Now, your brother was from a different set of parents. Has he met your...
Yeah, my brother has special needs, and I say that because he wants me to make sure I say that, because he thinks it's important to other people with special needs. And he's right. And my brother is one of the most loving people in the world. My brother calls my mother and sisters more than I ever do. Okay. He's in touch with them all the time. He fills me in on news of them.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's Mickey.
Yeah.
But one of the things I really think is important about this, and this is the National Adoption Month tie to this, is this. We got thousands of emails after I originally told the story on the air, and we talked about it, and you know, TV folks and some other folks picked it up. And there were so many adoptive moms and dads who said, should I help my child find their birth parents? What if they, you know, go to them and don't want to come back to me? Or some variation on that theme.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just moms. It was moms and dads. So the stereotype that it was just a mom that would feel that way, not true.
There's a lot of fear.
Fear
or
that
they have a bad experience,
yeah.
And then you subjected them to...
There's that, too.
You know.
There's that, too. But I just want to make sure people understand this point, because this is not my theory. This is an accurate statement. Kids need love. That's it. You love a kid. You love them to the best of their ability. They're going to grow up in a healthy situation, and they're going to love you. You're the mom and dad. You're the parents. I am lucky enough to have two families. My mom and dad both died in the 90s. But to have two moms, and by the way, my wife loves to give me grief about this. Oh, yeah, okay, Mr. Two Moms. I have two moms, and I love my mom. I love my my birth mom, and I am blessed to have them in my life. So I would hope, and I can't put this on you, I would just hope that you would give this deep consideration. If you love your kid and you think it's appropriate to help them find it, at least honor their request. If they say, I'd like to know more about who I was. And in this era of open adoptions, it's not as big a deal, because a lot of this is taken care of. But help them. Help them. Be supportive of them. And don't fear that they're going to run from you, because if you have done your job as a parent, it's just not going to happen. Loving them is the most important thing. And that's really the miracle of adoption. The miracle of adoption is the hurdles you have to go through to adopt a kid are unbelievable. Including the cost of it, the cost of a home inspection, where folks have to come in, and rightfully so, they have to come into your house and they have to you know, turn you upside down to find out that you're okay to have this child come into your life. It's easy to make a kid. It's not easy to adopt a kid. And you really have to want it to happen to happen. And there's so many people you hear in the promotional announcements here for this week who have gone through, including our boss, Todd Manley, and others. So I salute all of you. It's a very gutsy thing to do, and it's an amazing thing to do, and you should be proud of it that you've done it or you're considering doing it, and fostering as well. And tomorrow, Ross will be in, and Ross will talk about fostering as well. Well, and I should mention that, too. The kids were 12 and 15. They took to it immediately. They couldn't have been more thrilled to meet their grandmother and to meet their aunts and to meet their new cousin and now their other cousin, Nina and Claire. So I'm blessed. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's a lucky situation for me, and it can be for you as well. It doesn't mean if you're an adoptee, you're ever going to look for your birth parents. But if you want to, I hope you have people in your life that'll help you. And I'm trying to work with some folks in an effort to make getting your health information easier without interrupting the whole adoption process. So I hope that fills in some blanks.
It does. Our boss, Todd, says the cutest thing of he has biological children and then his adopted daughter, and he says that you can find that they can all love and hate you as much as each other. So it's not exclusive to just biological children. Your adopted children can love and hate you.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, I met my mom at 43, and to see that look in her eye that she's disappointed in me at 57 is something that maybe I missed out as a teenager, but I also know that that's something that can come in the reverse way. So so for my mom and sisters and everybody, and for my mom and dad looking down from their perch, again, I'm blessed, and I hope you'll continue to support adoption and foster care as we continue to talk about it this week. LetItBeUs.org if you'd like to help. And again, tomorrow Ross will be here to talk about foster care. And Thursday and Friday on the show, I believe we have two more families who have either fostered or adopted, right?
Correct. Friday is the executive director of Let It Be Us.
Okay, good. All right. Coming up, 9 o'clock hour. And in that 9 o'clock hour, Orion Samuelson will be on with his famous turkey recipe. What? No, Orion Samuelson will be in to talk turkey. Did you know that Illinois has a lot of turkeys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's true. It's 9 o'clock. We're back with the news in just a second. Steve Grzanich is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Let me open again with good news for my friend Adam Hogue. No time to do Stump Adam Hogue today.
Ooh, great news. Great news.
It's very good. Very good. Stump Adam Hogue. A game that's almost as popular as...
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Adam Hogue's new piece is three reasons why the Bears can win the Super Bowl and three reasons why they can't. This is must reading all the time when Adam Hogue posts his blog, which you write how often?
A couple times a week.
And the new one is up where?
WGNradio.com/Bears. We'll take you right to it.
All right.
Well, it's a shared on all the socials as well. So
that too, yeah.
Why the Bears are Super Bowl contenders? The defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're fourth in total defense right now, third in yards per play, fourth in points per game. I mean, they're getting the job done. They're clearly one of the best defenses in the league, and that's what you need. That's what you need to be a Super Bowl contender. I also think that it's not just the lack of injuries this team has suffered.
They're healthy. Really
they're healthy, and I think they deserve credit for the way they've managed injuries. It's not just there's always luck involved with being healthy, no question. But this team changed the training staff. They changed the strength and conditioning staff in the offseason. They were extra careful with players in the preseason. Just look at Roquan Smith, for example, who was held out once he came back, suffered a little hamstring injury, and they said, no, we're going to get you to the regular season. He was a little rusty when he started, but now he's really coming on strong. Same thing with Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson. They hold him out for 2 weeks. Well, guess who are the two best players on the field other than Mitch Trubisky the other day? Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson.
And you also make the point, Trubisky and the guys around Trubisky are going to get better. Now, those are the reasons that this team is a contender. Dave, Justin, you agree?
Well, are they a contender? Yeah.
No, based on those points,
I'm saying. Yes, sure. Absolutely. Can I pick up on one of those, though?
Of course.
And that's the injuries. And this gets into one of the reasons that you say maybe they're not. And that's the running game. But I'm wondering if Kyle Long's absence is in any way related to the lack of a running attack that they showed on Sunday against Detroit.
It's probably a factor, but it's not like they were running the ball that well with Kyle Long early in the season. It's really been a season-long struggle in that regard. I got to be honest, I'm a little confused by it because when I watch the tape, I don't see obvious breakdowns in one-on-one blocks on the offensive line. It's not like I can say, ooh, that guy's a big weakness. He's getting beat every time the Bears run the football. Honestly, I think it's somewhat schematic. A lot of times the Bears have five blockers against six, and it's just sort of a numbers game that they're losing. So I kind of actually put that more on the scheme and Matt Nagy a little bit, and probably the tight ends too. They've been beat up at tight end. They didn't have Deion Sims on Sunday, and you need to have a good blocking tight end. So maybe that's an area where Adam Shaheen potentially starting his season on Sunday night against the Vikings could help.
The other area, Adam, and you hit this stuff right on the head. I mean, obviously, we could talk about special teams all day long, what happened on Sunday, and in the loss against the Patriots as well, special teams breakdowns all over the place. But the lightly tested rookie head coach. And this is something that we have yet to see play out in our favor. We've seen the coach, you know, in the game in Miami, who went conservative at the weird time to force a 53-yard field goal in overtime that Cody Parkey missed. We saw the Packers breakdown in week one. We haven't yet seen him step up and carry his team to victory. We've seen it the other way.
Well, I will say I think it's very encouraging that we haven't seen any enormous boneheaded decisions that almost every coach in football makes from time to time during a game. You know, on Sunday, he was a little slow throwing the challenge flag. That certainly counts right. as something that, you know, goes against Matt Nagy. But I loved how he came out and said, look, I was paying attention to the next series. I was trying to plan out the next series on my play sheet, and I just kind of screwed up. So I thought that was cool that he took ownership of that. But these are the types of things he needs to get better at as the season goes along. Now, I didn't mean to bring this up as like a negative. I think overwhelmingly, Matt Nagy has been a great hire. He clearly has the locker room in his favor. He's done an unbelievable job with the offense.
Yeah, but you make the point. He's a first-time coach. He's got to learn. He's got to get better, too.
We don't know how he's going to handle these big games down the stretch. Yeah. We just haven't seen it yet. He's untested at this point, so I think it's a fair question to bring up as you know, a reason why maybe they're not ready to win the Super Bowl yet.
There's so much this week coming up on Sunday night against the Vikings. Yeah. Because you talk to any Bears fan, even in the break here with Dave and everyone we're talking, there's just this question of until they're tested, until they play a team that's supposed to beat them and they go in and beat them, we don't know much. We don't know where we're at as fans.
And I think that's fair, and I get it every single day. This team hasn't beaten anybody yet. Well, that's true. They also gave up two special teams touchdowns to the Patriots, and without that, they you know had a really good shot to beat New England. And that if they win that game, then we're not hearing about it. But guess what? They didn't win the game. So until they beat a really good team, we are going to hear that. And this is just such a big game. And I'll give you a couple reasons. One, as I think I said this last week with you guys, you have to beat Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay at home this year at a minimum. You have to win your divisional games at home. Okay, on the road, if you lose one or two, fine. But win at home, especially against the team that's probably your biggest contender right now, and the Vikings. And then you just start to look ahead at the schedule. That would put the Bears, I think, a game and a half ahead of the Vikings if they win on Sunday. And the Vikings have very tough games against Green Bay, New England, and Seattle coming up the next 3 weeks. Okay, and then their schedule drops off dramatically. And same thing with the Packers. The only reason I'm not ruling the Packers out yet is because you look at the last five games of their season, the only hard game they have is coming to Soldier Field. The rest of it's very, very easy. And so the Bears just need to get ahead of this thing right now, and winning on Sunday night against the Vikings would be huge.
Last word, Dave.
All right, any reason to think that Cody Parkey won't be the Bears kicker a week from now?
I mean, if he comes out and hits the goalpost four more times...
Yeah, but that's hard to do. He could do it 2 weeks in a row.
Let me tell you something. He hits a goalpost.
Keep him around.
He hits a goalpost four more times. You definitely keep him around that's going to sell tickets.
Yeah, right.
but I think all we need to do is remind him the space between the posts is the important.
That
space.
Was the problem. They had a miscommunication.
Yes.
Thought he was aiming for the upright.
No. You know, you got to talk to the kids. That's how they learn.
I'll say this. I think they're handling it the right way to give him a boost of confidence right now.
I think it was brilliant.
He's making $9 million, so it's hard to get rid of him right now. $9 million guaranteed on that contract. That being said, if you want to be truly a contender, and talking about the playoffs, and Super Bowl, or whatever, you have to have a kicker. So if he continues to struggle, I don't care what money he's making. You got to go out and find a kicker.
Got to go. And you know, the other thing that the coach did well is when he said, look, it's certainly not funny. Because a lot of people traded it that way, me included. He said it's certainly not funny, which sends a message. It's like, look, we got your back. You got to make those kicks.
Yeah, we're serious here.
And it's not funny that you missed four.
Yeah, we're out here to win, not to joke around.
So
they're just lucky it happened in a game that the Bears were winning by a lot.
Yeah.
Because Mason Crosby on the Packers actually did almost the exact same. He didn't hit the goalpost, but he missed five kicks against Detroit earlier this year, and they lost that game.
Yep. And he hasn't missed since, right?
I believe that's true, and he came back and hit the game winner the following week. So let's see how Cody Parkey responds. It is noteworthy, by the way, Nagy did not rule out the idea that he's going to come down to Soldier Field this week and practice there, I think everybody can agree
smart.
With.
Yeah.
Kind of a no-brainer.
Steve's going to hold for him.
That's very smart. I will hold for him. I'll need someone to help me up, but I'll hold for him. And, of course, Mason Crosby, let's tell the truth here. He has that Gouda bonus in his contract, where every kick he makes, he gets a wheel of Gouda.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. Adamo, great work, by you.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later. That's Adam Hoge.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, well, well. It's been a long time. He never calls. He never writes. Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Payton.
Good morning, sir. How you guys doing?
Would you forget my number? What happened to you?
Listen, I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, he hasn't had me on in a long time, and we're family.
What, have I got to have you on? You can't pick up the phone and call and make sure I'm alive? Come on, man.
You know what? It is kind of early. I do have two kids, so I am up this early.
That's
so I can
what I'm talking about.
Call.
Hey, congratulations on the car. I was going to say your dad's car, but it became your car. I thought that was a cool story.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a long time coming, and it was one of those moments where I got a chance, you know, see if I get a chance to share my dad with everybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of the perfect moments to be able to do that with the world. So it was a pretty cool experience. Really short. I thought it was going to be longer, but, you know, those auctions, they go pretty fast.
Emotional, or you had come to the, you know, the idea that this is the thing that you wanted to do?
Yeah, not emotional at all. I felt good. I knew someone that was going to be able to take care of it the same way he was, so it made me feel good.
Cook County Sheriff is partnering with the Jareth Payton Foundation to do what?
To be able to speak to kids out here in Ford Heights, and I want to give a big shout out to Tom Dart for bringing me out here to Cottage Grove Upper Grade Center, just to be able to speak about the Jareth Payton Foundation and my anti-bullying campaign, and just also inspire kids to be better in their community, and hopefully all the kids today and some of the kids will take some of my message and walk through their life and have something they can hold on to.
You know, it's funny, if you've ever talked to a group of high schoolers, you wonder if you're getting through. But then if you're paying attention, there's somebody in the audience who is just totally connected, and there's somebody else in another part that's totally connected. And the cliche is, if I did get to just one kid, it matters. Well, you'd like to get to more, and I know you will, Jared, but as you talk to them today, and I know you talk to kids all the time, I know you're going to get through to these kids, because I know they deal with this stuff every day, and I know they want it to change.
Yeah, they do, and I look forward to it. And you know, the cool part, Steve, is now with social media, I hear so many stories of kids that I've talked to over the years now that are out of college and who have used some of the things that I've said, and that right there is what's so gratifying about being able to share your message. So I look forward to every single time that I get a chance to be able to speak. Speaking is my passion, and my mom and dad really taught me well when it comes to giving back in service, and a big reason why I started the Jareth Payton Foundation.
I love your mom. How is your mom?
Mom is doing great, man. She's excited. There's, you got it. My sister has a baby girl coming, so it's always good. There's more grandkids, so that is what excites her the most. She loves being a grandma.
Well, why not? It's the greatest thing ever. That's all.
Yeah.
Give her a hug from us, and if we want to help the Jareth Payton Foundation, aside from what you're doing today or anytime, what do we do?
JarethPayton.org. Tell them to, you know, get a chance to be able to come and see what we're doing and hopefully get involved in some way.
I look forward to your next well-being check on Dave or me.
Hey, tell Dave I miss him, man.
Yeah, I miss you too, man.
I know. I love you.
Yeah, you guys are cute. All right, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
See you later. That's Jareth Payton.
He only said that because Dave's his boss here.
No, I'm not.
Aren't you? You're the sports director. Yeah, you're the boss.
Well.
Yeah, and you're mean too. Forget that part. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! America's Orion Samuelson joins us now. Hello, my friend.
Well, good morning to you, and we survived the midterm elections and hopefully moving forward.
Yeah, well, you would hope, right? And hopefully we can all get along a little better and try to make this country the great place that it is, and better today and better tomorrow and better the day after that, which leads us to Thanksgiving. We're at the show meeting yesterday, and we're talking about you behind your back.
Oh.
And we were talking about turkey.
Yeah.
And your previous mention of how Illinois is such a prodigious turkey-producing state. So give us some things we need to know.
Well, I think Minnesota produces more turkeys than any state in the country.
Yeah, but they're cold. A lot of their turkeys are cold.
Well, yeah, that's true. And they get in out of the cold, and we enjoy them for Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting, though, the decline in pork exports is providing more pork here in this country, and supplies are increasing and prices are coming down. So there may be more pork and beef served at Thanksgiving dinner this year than turkey. But turkey will still be the number one meat. And it's interesting to see what's happened over the years with a couple of products. Turkeys used to be Thanksgiving, followed by Christmas, and then for the rest of the year, fairly quiet. Turkey is a year-round delicacy now, and we enjoy it. Just like bacon, we no longer trade frozen pork bellies at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That was there to even out the price at demand time as demand lowered. But now we eat bacon the year round. At restaurant menus, you'll find it on just about any item on the menu.
What about the rest of the Thanksgiving meal? How much of it comes out of Illinois? Do we do much in potatoes?
Not so much. Cranberries we get from Wisconsin, and we still grow cranberries on the East Coast. But Wisconsin now, I think, leads the nation in cranberry production.
Is that right?
Yes, and potato production, well, you still look to Idaho, really, for the best in potatoes. And
what about beets? I don't like them. I don't need them. I think the American people should put an end to them. Where do the beets come from?
I love beets.
Well, they come from all over.
Okay.
They're produced all over. I don't know that any one state is the leading beet producer, which is one of my favorites. I love pickled beets, and I don't know what you've got against them.
I was in a band called the Pickled Beets, and we had an ugly breakup.
Okay.
All right, so Thanksgiving table. Let's we're talking Orient Thanksgiving knowledge here. Dave, give me an item.
Okay, we've done turkey.
Stuffing. Does the stuffing just grow right on the trees? Kidding.
I was going to go.
No, it doesn't.
Well, pumpkin pie. I know about that.
Pumpkin production. Where are we?
Number one.
Yeah, baby.
Pumpkin production in Illinois. We produce more pumpkins than any other state.
Orion, where am I getting my Brussels sprouts from?
Brussels.
Why would you want to eat Brussels sprouts?
That's exactly right.
The only time
that's exactly right.
Brussels sprouts is when I'm out of town because I dislike them so much.
I'm in a phase of eating raw Brussels sprout salad right now. Brussels sprouts, radishes,
what are you, a commie?
Kale, a little bit of shredded Parmesan cheese. I make this homemade lemon dressing that's so delicious.
That sounds great.
It is.
Well, if you put enough
cheese
on Brussels sprouts, I guess they're edible.
And bacon. Yeah.
I'm going to bring some. Bacon. I'll make it for everybody tomorrow. It's really good.
Green beans.
Another of my least favorite vegetables because at every farm dinner I attend as a speaker, green beans are always on the menu. So I've they're pretty much universal production here in the U.S. I don't know which state is number one, but we produce green beans all over the country.
You know, the casseroles that are made, Dave, they're produced at the same place as the stuffing.
That's what I was wondering.
The stuffing farms and the casserole farms, they both do that. Yeah. Am I missing anything off the Thanksgiving table?
With sweet potatoes.
Apple pie is also something that people have. We like apple pie.
I have an apple every day.
And we'll have,
every day.
We'll have, no, not apple, an apple pie.
I have an apple every day. I just want to state that out loud.
Apples produced number one in Washington State and in Michigan, right across the lake, you'll find a lot of apples, and also New York State.
How about pecans? Pecans and pecans.
Georgia, but a lot of the pecan, not, it's pecan, not pecan.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, of the production in Georgia was wiped out by the hurricane that moved across the state. And so I don't think you'll find a shortage, but you may find prices a little higher.
Is that why they closed all the Stuckies?
Yes, because they didn't have the pecan logs or the pecan logs.
Orion, a serious question just about hurricanes that you just mentioned, hurricanes and inclement weather and what we're seeing out in California. Are you going to see our holiday seasons and some of our few food rituals in the next 6 to 8 months affected by some of these things?
I don't think very much by the fires in California. I think maybe some of the wineries will be impacted, but not that much. And we're not into the growing season for the grapes now for the winery. So I don't think the California wildfires will have much of an impact on what we are able to get. and enjoy for the holiday season, because while California is the number one agricultural state in the country from the standpoint of income, because they produce over 240 different crops in California, but I don't think we're going to see that much of an impact.
Orion, lately when we've been buying our iceberg lettuce, because we buy it by the head, it hasn't been as tightly bound. There have been loose heads. Is that because of growing conditions somewhere? And it's been at Whole Foods, Mariano's, like it's been at different grocery stores. You know what I mean? How sometimes it's a really tightly...
A good tight head of lettuce.
Yeah, because I like... Yeah. Yeah, but it's been, they've all been loose.
You don't want your lettuce leaves just kind of flipping off to the side. No, you don't want that.
Unless you're making bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, then you want the leaf.
Well, I mean, easy to peel. But if it's easy to peel it apart, it's not a great head of lettuce.
I don't know where the lettuce is grown. I'm just curious if there's like a drought somewhere that's affecting the tightness of my lettuce.
Not really. The number one lettuce producing area in the country now that the season has ended in most of the growing areas is not too far from where I am right now, Yuma, Arizona, and the Imperial Valley of California. They take over pretty much lettuce production during the winter season when we can't grow them elsewhere. So not to my knowledge is there a drought situation that has made it the loose lettuce leaves. So maybe there's another reason.
Any feel on the market today after 600 points yesterday?
We're coming back a little bit. Still a lot of concern about the technology sector, because the Apple situation yesterday and Apple trading lower again today, apparently, and this is just a personal opinion, but I think a $1,000 price tag for a cell phone is getting a little expensive.
I agree with you. I think it's going to have to come back down to something more reasonable. And funny to say this, but reasonable is going to be $600 or $700.
You're right. Yeah.
Candied yams or corn souffle? Any preference?
For me?
Yeah.
I like candied yams. Yes. Yeah. And North Carolina, of course, is a major producer of sweet potatoes. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And corn souffle, of course, was my blues name. You going to be in the pool today?
No, it's actually cool in the desert today.
How cool is it?
I think we're going to get into the upper 60s.
Oh.
And that's cool in the desert.
Yeah, and it got really cold at night.
Oh, one other note from
the desert. Put a shawl on. I don't want you to get a chill.
Yeah, I'll be very careful. One other note from the desert. Folks at Tutti Santi say hello.
Yeah,
our picture is still hanging in the lobby.
Love those guys. Best Italian food. It's tremendous.
That was Ron Santo's fault. He's the one who introduced me to Tutti Santi here in Scottsdale. So.
Just one of the many fine things Ron Santo did on this planet.
Yes.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a great week.
That's Orion Samuelson live from the desert.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Should have seen the look on Mrs. Carlson's face when he said, "It's a keeper." Oh, cold enough for you?
Shut up, fat ass.
I make my living off the evening news. Just give me
that clip was me from Grumpy Old Men, and how I didn't win an Oscar is beyond me.
And Walter Matthau bad-mouthing you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's when I punched him.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
It was great cinematic conflict.
It was, wasn't it?
Two of you, yeah.
Protagonist, antagonist, yep. right out of the playbook.
When you were going to be in that, how many "you're a grumpy old man" jokes did you get?
Nothing, because I was 30 years old.
Oh.
Zero.
You've been calling Justin a grumpy old man, so.
30 years old with hair. It's coming 4:10, and Bill and Wendy will join us next. It's 10 o'clock. Wendy and Bill are here. How are you guys?
Hi, Steve.
You guys good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything all right?
Oh, yeah.
You seem a little edgy.
He's upset about the death of Stan Lee.
I'm very upset about the death of Stan Lee.
But you're not a comic book guy, are you?
Yeah, I am. I thought it was very helpful of you when you and Dean were speaking today about all the creations that Stan Lee put out over the years. And you said that he would best be remembered for Inch High Private Eye. I thought that was terrible.
Nobody gives him credit for that.
No one does give him credit for that because he didn't do it. I don't know.
He gets a lot of credit. What I love about Stan Lee right now is he's getting credit for every comic book. You could be like the Batman, Joker, everything. I mean, a lot of things he had nothing to do
with. You remember what he did with the Archies?
Yes.
That's right.
He's getting it today.
He did it with that.
But are you really sad? He lived to be 95. We should all be so lucky. 95 is a good run.
But he was still going pretty strong.
So sharp.
Well, that's why he shouldn't have been on that motorcycle.
Yeah, I guess there's that, I guess.
I was really hoping something would occur to me quicker than that.
I interviewed him a couple times over the years, the last time here with Wendy, and he just, you wouldn't know that he was as rich and powerful and influential as he was. He was just a regular guy.
Well, remember the dealer, I said $4. It wasn't that much more than that. He sold the rights to all of it.
Yeah.
All of it, including future considerations for not a lot of money. But somebody felt badly enough about him that none of it would have happened without him, that they cut him back in the last few years for whatever the number was.
The story is that his own family kind of short-shifted him a little bit on the money, and that's horrible. You know, he wasn't of sound mind enough to realize what they were doing to him.
So you think it was the webs? You think the webs confused him?
From
Did
Spider-Man?
You know that Stan Lee could actually shoot webs out of his fingers?
Yeah,
amazing man.
Gil, you're our resident comic book guy, but do you think there's one name bigger than Stan Lee when it comes to pop culture in America?
Oh, pop culture?
Like, think about it. Maybe Walt Disney, because but the Disney company did a lot of that. But the idea that Stan Lee represents so many
Joyce DeWitt.
Superheroes and villains and all that kind of stuff. That
Joyce DeWitt certainly would be part of that conversation.
I mean? Like, think about all of the stuff that's come out of his small company.
Right. Impact-wise. You're talking impact.
Yeah. And young kids legacy. Know him, too, because, his relationship with
Impact,
Kevin
Smith. It all started for them.
Because you Lorne Michaels up there. Spielberg. I'd put up there.
Spielberg Michaels?
George
Spielberg
Lucas.
Spielberg Michaels,
right.
Yeah. George Lucas, certainly. But Joyce DeWitt is an excellent call.
Joyce DeWitt would be my call.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You guys want to plug anything?
Yes, Michael Kudlitz used to play Abraham on The Walking Dead. He's now on a really funny new show, The Kids Are All Right, ABC. We'll be talking to him at 11:30.
Can you ask him why The Walking Dead is about to go out of business? I mean, it seems like people aren't into it anymore.
There's a downswing.
What's up with that?
They're
shifting. You probably cover this on your show.
Yeah.
Kind of involves him.
Yeah, to some extent.
His character?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, he's not actually a zombie, though, is he?
No.
I mean, not in real life?
No. Okay. Oh, no, no. Okay.
Oh. I got to go call Joyce DeWitt.
Are you finished now?
Apparently.
All right.